New year, new cash. FM 100.3 kicks off 2025 by throwing money your way. Listen while you work to win your share of $10,000 five times a day from Utah's number one at work music station, FM 100.3.
Haven't seen the sky so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now. My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care.
Hey, hey,
hey, hey,
hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
It's the KSL Greenhouse. Expert tips for flowers, trees, gardens, and soil. Our hosts are Maria Chaleos and Ton Bettis on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Phone lines are open. We're taking your calls and questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. A short show this morning, making way for BYU basketball coverage this afternoon. So give us a call now if you have any burning questions. The topic of the morning, the 9 o'clock hour, is seed catalogs. Not much you can do out in your yard right now, so planning is key, especially if you are planning to plant things from seed. So where do we start? What are some of your favorites, Ton, when it comes to seed catalogs?
Well, to get started, it's easy to overdo it. You know, you see.
So you're saying it's not the catalog right now. Just make sure you're not going
to
plant too many seeds.
Yeah, and so you need to plan what you want. Mm-hmm. And you can get suggestions from the seed catalogs, but you don't want to go in and just go crazy because it looks pretty, it sounds fun, because you can easily buy too many seeds. You know, one thing that my frugal nature, I'll see seed catalogs, and you can get, say, a tomato, 20 seeds for $4.99, but for $8.99, I can get 100. And I'm just, I'll never use them, but I almost have to get the 100. I can, oh yeah, I'll save them or I'll give them away. And so there's been a few times that I've wanted to try things that I have room for 12 to 15 tomatoes max. And I planted 200. But I think that's a little more common than.
But that's great, because then you give them to me.
Yes.
I like it.
So know what you're doing going in. Now, we like to talk about the catalogs for vegetables, but there will be perennials, shrubs and trees, fruit trees, all available depending on the particular company. And so Burpee, Gurney, Spring Hill, all are full service and they've got everything. But then you get companies like Johnny's that only does vegetables, mm-hmm. and they're intended for commercial production. So they're usually very productive, and you go into it knowing that when you buy from Johnny's, it's, even though they'll sell to the general public, it's intended more toward the serious producer. But then, you know, you've got other seed companies like Territorial. There's so many out there. Harris is one I like. Ball Seed's another one. There's so many seed companies. And I know that I order too much, because probably 90% of my emails that I get on a daily basis
are from
six or seven different seed companies.
Oh, I definitely get Park Seed because I ordered some special cucumbers that I wanted to grow, which I didn't get a chance to grow. So are those seeds still going to be good that I bought this past
They
year?
Should be.
Okay.
Those larger
so
seeds
probably
will last
okay a year.
For 3 to 5 years. The Park Seed is one where I get a lot of the miniature tomatoes from. So the patio tomatoes and the kitchen, I can't remember what they call them, but they've got a couple of series where there's kind of semi-dwarf tomatoes that you can grow on your patio, but then they have a whole, like five or six that will stay about 18 inches high and wide. And so Park's where I get a lot of those. And so the companies will specialize in different things. I've been putting together an article for another week on dwarf or plants for limited space. And I've located patio watermelons, patio pumpkins, patio squash, patio tomatoes, patio peppers. Peppers you don't worry as much about. But there are many vegetables out there that you can get that will be more diminutive. That's the vocabulary word of the day. Diminutive. They'll be smaller that you can grow in limited spaces. So there's, it just depends on what you're doing. You know, are you going out for full out production to where you need the maximum amount of everything you're growing, or are you going for flavor, you know, and you can plant those heirlooms that may only be half as productive, but they have unique flavor profiles. And so you need to plan ahead of time. And then when you're ordering seeds, and if you think, okay, I'm planting larger garden, I'm going to put in 15 tomatoes. Well, then you order the smallest amount possible and plant 10 to 20% more than you need, because not all the seeds will germinate. And that usually gets you enough to plant into your garden.
You mentioned the number of companies out there that are selling seeds. So for someone who is new at this, how do they decide which company to choose? And how, I think even bigger than that is, how do they decide which ones they shouldn't choose? Because social media really complicates this
issue. You know, I stay away from eBay and Amazon if I can. A lot of the seed people on eBay and Amazon, especially Amazon, have really low ratings. There are a few that are fine. Like, I have ordered peanuts off of Amazon, the seed peanuts, and been just fine there. But I'll try to stick, if I'm brand new, I'm probably going to go with Burpee, Gurney, and Johnny's, Totally Tomatoes. Those would be the four that I would look at if you're doing vegetables. Mm-hmm. If you want, you just mentioned Park Seed, Harris Seed are also very reliable. And so any of those, they're mainstream companies, Pioneer,
and we're going to put up a list.
Yeah,
on the
there's quite
Facebook
a few
page
out there, but you can look at their, I believe there's an internet trust rating that they'll have, but you can ask other gardeners. But with this, and this is a topic for next week or another time, you need to know how to start the seeds, because not all of them can just be planted in your garden. And so you're going to need to have an area that you can plant tomatoes and peppers, especially to get them ready to go. But those are going to be the main areas. Sheridan Hansen had, she grew more heirlooms and unique things, and she had several companies she liked. But I think a quick internet search on heirloom seed companies with good customer service or anything along those lines.
Definitely read the reviews.
And the reviews will bring up the,
you
know,
on Amazon, you can
company
find good ones. Make sure you read the reviews.
Yeah.
Good,
I mean,
and bad.
Locally, we have True Leaf Market that is very reliable. They are actually a very major player regionally in seeds. So True Leaf Market is out of Salt Lake, and they have a unique ordering system. You can't just bop in. And they don't have a retail store. And so what they want you to do is go to their website and order your seeds. And then they'll give you a time to come in, and you bring your printed receipt, and they pull the order within 15 or 20 minutes.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
But True Leaf has seed starting kits, potting soil. They're a complete one-stop shop for seeds in Salt Lake, and they will also ship online, ship to you if you want.
Before we take a break, when we are trying to decide how to order seeds, are there some things that when we're looking at the catalogs, some words or things that we might need to know more about?
Yes, you need to research anything you're unfamiliar with. Research it, because especially with trees, and I see fewer of them now, but there used to be some tree companies out there that were very deceptive, and they would guarantee shade within 3 years. That's a problem, because the tree is going to be very weak wooded. It'll shade out your grass. You know, and they're selling hybrid poplars, hybrid willows. They're just not good trees, but they sell them as if, you know, if you need instant shade, this is the best tree ever. And so when you see very fast growth, fills in quickly, you know, anything along those lines, you need to look it up. Another couple trees that you sometimes found, or Tree of Paradise, which you never want to plant. Royal Polonia is another one that can be very messy. It's pretty, but it's messy. And so there are a number of those trees out there. But if you see, you know, something saying very fast growth rate, disease resistant, be cautious, look up the species, find out more information.
And are there any terms that we may not understand?
Well, this fact sheet that we are putting up has terms, but F1 hybrid just means that it's okay to plant. I don't worry as much about that. There's lots of terms on there. This fact sheet we're posting will give you what they mean.
Awesome.
But one other thing before we go to break, when in doubt, especially with vegetables and annuals, look for All-American selections, because they've been vetted across the country and they're usually going to be a good plant. And then look for selections made by the company that they're calling our best, that, you know, they've vetted it. And so when in doubt, if I'm looking for a cucumber or a squash, if it's an All-American selection, you're pretty much guaranteed that it will be at least very acceptable and probably pretty good.
All right. And an article up on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page right now. Number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
New year, new cash. FM 100.3 kicks off 2025 by throwing money your way. Listen while you work to win your share of $10,000 five times a day from Utah's number one at-work music station, FM 100.3.
Stop paying five-star pricing for three-star service. It's time for a change. Welcome to Beehive Plumbing's Premier Experience. With our Beehive Premier plan, you have access to our VIP phone number and website to ensure prompt and reliable plumbing service by an expert five-star technician. Why Beehive? Our Premier package comes with an industry-leading warranty, giving you up to 10 years of coverage on both parts and labor. Yeah, that's right, 10-year warranty. Call Beehive Plumbing today or visit beehivepremier.com for expert experience every time.
At Smith's, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Smith's, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's me, Debbie Dujanovic. Did you know downloading the KSL News Radio app is not only free? It's easy. Just open your app store, type in KSL News Radio, and then download. Or simply text the word app to 57500. And I'll catch you on the radio weekday mornings at 9 on KSL News Radio.
Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Anton with you, taking your calls and your questions. 801-575-8255. Phone lines are open and you only have the next, 40 minutes to give us a call, because we have a short show this morning. You can also text us your questions at 57500. Our next listener would like to know, Ton, what is the most fragrant shrub rose in your opinion?
Shrub rose. This is one that I would go to the Utah Rose Society page on Facebook and ask those folks. But I mean, because
they probably have a much more expansive.
Yes, they do. Where I've got
types.
To be a generalist there. I know some very fragrant roses, but they're going to, if you because when I look for this stuff, I'm kind of a multi-purpose. It's got to be pretty. It's got to repeat bloom. And then the fragrance, too. So two of them that come to mind are Evelyn and Double Delight. Double Delight's a former Rose of the Year. Hmm. It's a great rose. And so those are two I would look at. But any of the David Austin series have good fragrance. But I would go to the Utah Rose Society because they're going to be the ones that they'll have people that can rattle off 15 or 20 of them for you. But just the ones I've grown and have experience with, Double Delight and Evelyn.
Okay. Next listener says they've added leaves to their garden and have heard that those leaves will rob the nitrogen out of their garden. Do they need to add nitrogen to the garden? And when would be the best time if they do?
It depends on the amount of leaves that were put on the soil. If it was an inch and they were chopped up or, you know, worked into the soil, no, they don't. But if they put 5 or 6 inches, it may be good to go out and get some fertilizer and just follow the lawn rates on the fertilizer and just spread it over their garden area to assist in breakdown of those leaves. And then if there's still a lot of them when it's time to plant, they may need to do that again.
Okay. I'd like to go back to our discussion on seeds. We were talking about seed catalogs, and people can find out more about that on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page, the catalogs and terms and things. But you said the most important thing is planting the seeds properly. So we have an opportunity now to talk about that.
Yeah, so seeds, if you're starting them indoors, you need to know when to plant them, because like onions, you would plant now if you're doing seed onions to have them ready by mid to late March to put outside. And so you really need to research when to do your planting. And so if you were using like sweet Spanish or Ebenezer, those are two common sweeter onions grown here and in Colorado that you can find in stores. But if you're doing tomatoes on the Wasatch Front, you would wait until late March to early April. And if you were, say, in the Cache Valley, you might wait until April 10th before you seed your tomatoes. And so the timing, what you need to look at is the number of days required before you plant outside. And most fact sheets will, instead of saying, oh, you need to plant this in mid-March, it'll just say, okay, plant this 45 days ahead of your average last frost. And that's how that will work. But indoors, you need seed starting equipment. Now, you can use a lot of creative things. I've seen people use clamshells from salads. They've used Costa Vida containers with the lids, you know, and there's lots of things you can start seeds in, but the trick is that it needs to be warm enough, minimally 70 degrees for warm season crops and around 60 for cool season crops. And then you need light, and you don't have to have grow lights. A lot of times a window isn't enough, but fluorescent bulbs, just like the long tubes, you can get shop lights for $20 or $25 from local retailers and build a frame with some chains on the light so you can raise and lower them. But you're going to need proper soil, and you're going to need lighting and potentially some heat mats if it's a cooler area.
Does USU have a fact sheet that tells people when to plant things?
They are coming out. They're in the process of being published. Several other universities do. And if you look up indoor vegetable planting guide or indoor vegetable planting calendar, there's many of them that will come up.
Because that would be just great, rather than me having to worry and figure out the timing on everything, if there was just a calendar I could look at that says,
and so
right
they
now
will,
you should be planting onions.
There are several available for both vegetables and flowers.
Okay. We're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Number to call with your questions. Our phone lines are open at 801-575-8255. You can ask us questions at 57500.
New year, new cash. FM 100.3 kicks off 2025 by throwing money your way. Listen while you work to win your share of $10,000 five times a day from Utah's number one at work music station, FM 100.3.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
I'm KSL News Radio's Jeff Kaplan. Do you want to be the first to know when there's major breaking news? How about avoiding a traffic jam that might slow you down on the way to work? Well, subscribe to KSL's breaking news texts. Just text the word news to 57500. Meantime, I'll catch you on the radio weekday afternoons on KSL News Radio.
The Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you, taking your calls 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. A short show this morning ending at 10 o'clock. So if you have pertinent questions, now is the time to call or text us. Susan is on the line in Ogden. Good morning, Susan. What was your question this morning?
Thank you for taking my call. I recently put in a raised garden box and put in a drip system in it. Initially, I had, I think, a quarter inch in, but the spacing for the drip was 12 inches, and I wanted it closer. So I changed and put in, I think, a quarter inch, and the drips were 6 inches apart. I'm a little bit concerned of this raised bed. We talk about raised beds, but nobody ever talks about how they can heat up and really require more water, it seemed to me. Can you talk to me a little bit about how I can figure out how much water to use in my raised beds?
Yes, I can. So the raised beds do heat up, and so I have some raised beds we work with in Orem, and they're wooden, and even if with that, we immediately painted them white with water-based latex paint on the outside to help them stay a little bit cooler during the summer. I'm not saying you need to do that, because if they're wooden, it can be a pretty good insulation, but to try to help with that a little bit, we painted them white. So because the raised beds require usually an artificial mix, like raised bed mix, or, you know, one-to-one compost and sand and things, are going to be sharply drained, and just by their nature, they require more water. And with what you've installed every 6 inches, what this is called is gridded drip, and it's the perfect thing to do if you're growing rows of onions and greens and things. If you're planting bigger things in there, I like to put a little bit like a shutoff valve on a line so I can turn it off if I'm doing tomatoes. You know, I don't need quite that much. But in general, you've done everything right, you know, as far as the kind of irrigation and everything. And so you're not going to really save water because of the sharp drainage. But the advantages are is you're up off the ground a little bit. And you can sometimes get a little bit more productivity by the nature of the soil and things. And so I'm not sure. I mean, where are your questions at?
I'm concerned. Am I watering them enough, or am I watering? Is maybe I just have to learn from experience.
Well, what's going to happen is those emitters, it may look dry on the surface, but the water fans out underground depending on how sharp the drainage is. And so 2 or 3 inches underground, within just a few hours, you'll have the thing wet. And what you're wanting to do is have that water reach the bottom of the bed. How deep is it?
It's a pretty deep bed.
Okay.
We put in probably four 2x6s.
Okay.
Because we wanted it kind of high.
Okay. So what you can do is just make sure you're watering about a foot deep. Now there are, and I can't do them on there, there are calculations you can do looking at the gallons per hour emitted by each emitter, and then looking at the soil type to know how deeply the water will penetrate into the soil. So you can say, okay, I need to run this for, say, 45 minutes for the water to go 6 inches deep. but they're a good guide, but they're not perfect because all soils are different. And so mm-hmm. what I would do is just get things planted. And in the spring, I would start by running it for 45 minutes and giving it 2 or 3 hours to soak in, and then going to a section that you say don't have a plant and just get a narrow planting spade, like a little hand shovel, and start digging and see how deep the water went. And if you've gone at least a foot deep, you're, and not too much deeper, then you're fine. And so you can, just using trial and error, you know, start with that 45 minutes and back it off or increase depending on what you need to do.
Great. Good. That's a good place to start. I have another question. I've got a peach tree that we've had planted for about 2 years. Do you have a good source for me to a video? Does USU have videos on pruning peach trees?
Yes. If you go to the USU Extension YouTube channel, there's a few of them there. And I believe that there's some pretty good publications out too. But there are peach tree pruning guides that USU has.
Okay. One other question. Are we going to have as bad of grasshopper problems this year as we have had the past 2 years, do you think?
Maybe. That's the best I can give you, is maybe.
I've been hoping for really, 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 really cold temperatures. I've been a little disappointed.
Well, they can reproduce so quickly that a lot of times it's more of a factor of how much rain we've had and how moist the spring was. And if there's lots of greenery available, then there's oftentimes more grasshoppers and Mormon crickets. And if it's drier, then there'll be fewer. Weather, like the cold in the winter, has a little bit to do with it, but the best I can really say is maybe.
All right, Susan, thanks for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, says that they have 3 gold spot euonymus shrubs on the north side of their home that have been destroyed by scale insects over the past 4 years. During that time, they've used a root drench, water spray, different kinds of insect spray, insecticidal soap. But the scale has won, and they now want to replace all 3 shrubs. What would you suggest they plant there? And they're wondering if all these different things that they've used, these poisons, will affect any new shrubs.
No, they won't. We get a little bit freaked out about the wrong things sometimes. They can be dangerous, and they, you know, they're not great to use, but it's funny to me, and not really funny, but interesting, because you know, we don't worry about gasoline. We don't worry about Lysol. And they're every bit as dangerous or more so. And so I think they're fine. If they wanted to try another soil drench, they could try Xylem or Safari.
I think they've given up, though. So
yeah.
What would they plant there instead on the north side?
You know, anything they put in there is going to be susceptible to something. And so I would... It just depends, you know, because I can recommend like English laurels, and they would be susceptible to different scales and things usually, but they could come right back. And so I might, if they're going to take them out, I might remove them and put in for just a year or so, maybe some impatiens and some annuals or something, and leave it for a year and then plant something.
Let that
something.
Soil rest.
Let it rest a little bit. Let the pest pressure reduce a little bit. Mm. But English laurels are going to be the most similar. They could do blue hollies, photinia. But, depending on if they're just decimated and they need to come out, they need to come out. If they still have some vigor to them, they could try Xylem.
But you're saying the scale could still be there in the soil.
It could. Well, it could. Yeah, it could. Hmm. And if it's San Jose, depending on the species, it could jump right to the next species they plant. Hmm. And that's why I'm hesitating a little bit, because these broadleaf evergreens are sometimes a little tricky. I suspect it's euonymus scale, which wouldn't hop to another species. And if they need to do something, I would probably look for English laurel or like Autolichens or Skipco laurel, one of the cherry laurel group.
Okay. Next person says they have never done a cover crop in their home vegetable garden. They're considering a mustard mix. What is your opinion? They live in Alpine, and they're going to be growing tomatoes, cukes, zucchini, melons, peas in that area.
It depends on what I wish they would have called.
What is a cover crop?
Well, it's used to protect the soil. It's used to keep weeds down, and it's used to add a little bit of organic matter into the soil. And so they're generally planted in fallow areas. Let's say you grew a crop of peas or beets, and you're not going to plant anything there vegetable-wise. You could go get a cover crop, and there are many of them out there, and plant them in the row where the peas were, and then irrigate it once in a while, and it will protect the soil, hold the soil, add, when you mow it down, it'll add some organic matter in. And so it's a technique used in organic farming and before we had a lot of weed killers to help keep weeds in check and keep the soil viable. And so you can use grains. You can use barleys, wheats. There's a grain called triticale. You can use legumes. You can use mustard mixes. But I'm hesitating because I'm not sure if they're going to plant the mustard mix in March and then grow it through May and then cut it down, that's fine. Or if they're going to plant it in the fall when they're done growing, but they don't want the cover crop plus vegetables in the same area.
Okay. We're going to take a break. Come back with more of your calls and questions. Number to call 801-575-8255. Text us 57500.
New year, new cash. FM 100.3 kicks off 2025 by throwing money your way. Listen while you work to win your share of $10K five times a day from Utah's number one at work music station, FM 100.3.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Tim and Amanda here. Did you know you can get the three things you need to know delivered right to your inbox? Put the news back in newsletter and sign up today.
Every weekday, we'll send you an email with the news that's most important to you, including the three things you need to know that day.
Subscribe now. Text the word inbox to 57500, and we'll see you on the radio. Weekday mornings on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton with you taking your calls. Phone lines are open for the next few minutes. Final segment of the show at 801-575-8255, or you can text us your questions at 57500. Next listener, Ton, says they have a beauty bush growing under a large pine tree. It needs to be moved. What is the best way to go about doing this? And before you answer the question, first of all, for those of us who don't have a clue, what is a beauty bush?
A beauty bush is a species that was much more commonly planted 50, 60 years ago than it is now.
Mm-hmm.
It's very pretty. It's related to honeysuckle and weigela. So if you've planted like wine and roses or there's minuet, weigela, the flowers look similar. They're a light pink. And when the shrub's in bloom, it's just covered.
Okay.
So the beauty bush likes at least 6 hours of sun a day, but the soonest they could move it would be, I would wait until early to mid-March as soon as they can dig, and I would get as much of the root ball as they can with the soil intact and put it in its new home.
Mm-hmm. This sounds like they've had this for quite some time. It's going to be okay moving it?
Probably, maybe.
Mm,
you know, when you have a 20-year-old shrub, and especially if it's big, it probably won't. But if it's a little more limited in size, what you would have to do is get a shovel and go around the perimeter of the plant with the edge, you know, about, so you have a root ball on something that big, at least 2 to 2.5 feet wide, and you would go down 18 inches. And so you dig a trench and then get some pruners or loppers, and you would start to undercut with a shovel and work a tarp underneath the root ball as you cut, and just gently peel, pull it back. And so it's an involved process, but if they could get a 2 foot wide by 18 inch root ball on it, I think it would survive. I would probably prune it back pretty hard, and that way it doesn't have too much mass above the roots that it has to support, and it can start over equally on the branches and the roots.
Why don't we see many of these beauty plants anymore?
I don't know why they fell out of favor. I know, like with Weigela, I have never been thrilled with those because they split out in the middle very easily. And so it could be that situation. But, you know, working in the nursery industry, I think I only saw them once at the garden center I worked at, and other garden centers rarely have them. And so the Latin name's Colquitzia, and they're around, but it's just a little more difficult to find them. And I have seen them in bloom, and they are spectacular, but they've just never, since I've been in the nursery industry, hardly anybody knows about them, and they're just rarely specced on plants.
All right. Next listener would like to know, can you trim raspberries this time of year?
You can. Yeah, it's fine if you want to go out and do that. I just look up, I don't know what kind of raspberries, if they're summer bears or ever bears. So look up the techniques to do it. But yes, you can.
Okay. I never think of trimming things like raspberries this time of year. We do have a caller who's, we're going to squeeze in here. Brian is in Sandy. Good morning, Brian. What was your question this morning?
So for the last several years, I've been growing my own annuals in a sunroom in our house. And I've been getting plugs out of Florida, but the shipping is very expensive. Is there someplace in the Salt Lake area, Salt Lake or even Utah, that will sell individuals annuals, plugs for annuals?
Maybe. I don't know of anybody. Butterfield Gardens, you could check with.
Okay.
One other you could check with, and I'm not sure if they would, is Perennial Favorites in Layton. Oftentimes they're just wholesale, but they may, I don't know. A lot of times they're facing the same situation where it's really expensive to get them, and so you're going to be paying accordingly.
Okay, Brian, I hope that helps out just a little bit. That's all for our show this morning. Thank you for joining us this morning for the KSL Greenhouse Show. If you missed our plant of the week, it was the amaryllis. Also, more great information on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page, or you can catch us in podcast form at kslpodcast.com. Have a great day.
New year, new cash. FM 100.3 kicks off 2025 by throwing money your way. Listen while you work to win your share of $10,000 five times a day from Utah's number one at-work music station, FM 100.3.